Welcome back to another edition of Turner Talks.
In thickness and in health with your host, Bailey Turner.
And Zach.
In today's episode, we will be chatting with you guys about our favorite training shoe and also our favorite workout apparel. So I feel like a big question that we get asked a lot is, you know, what's Zach's favorite outfit to train in and shoes to train in? And then same with me, what's my favorite legging, sports bra, training shoes, all that. And then what shoes we don't necessarily recommend for working out. And then just giving you, you know, our feedback on that. And then also a quick little cut update. So without further ado, Zach's going to get us started with his favorite training shoe.
Yeah, so I don't get asked this a lot, but you might get asked for, you know, women's husbands or boyfriends about what I wear. Personally, now that we train exclusively at home, most of the time I'll just literally rock barefoot, like no shoes at all. But if I feel like randomly wearing shoes one day, or when we were training in like a public gym where you had to wear shoes, my favorite shoes, I recently found like last August at an Under Armour outlet, and they're just, I think they're called like the Tribase Rain Trainer. I know that they have like a new like shoe this year, and I just picked up a pair of those, but I like them a lot because one, really flat bottom, and two, they're a wide toe base and they're just really comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I used to like Metcons, but then Metcons kind of went downhill, I feel like, because now they have like the stupid like Velcro strap over the laces, and it's just something that I don't enjoy doing. And Nike tends to be like
narrow,
super and narrow.
Yeah, I found that the arch support in those were super narrow, and my arches would just be so shot after a workout in them.
Yeah,
and the toe base isn't as wide as I'd like it to be. So I know that you got me started on the Vivo Barefoot trainers, which I really like, and they do kind of hurt your feet at first when you're trying to get used to it, because it kind of mimics being barefoot. That's the whole point. And so it kind of strengthens your, you know, natural arch in your foot, and those are really comfortable too. So I have the same shoes as Zach. I have the Under Armour trainers, which I really like. I also like the Reebok Nanos, because you got me on those too.
Yeah, and that's the other thing too. I used to like Reebok, but then like it feels like they, because I had a black and white pair that I literally wore out. They were the first Reebok trainers I ever wore. I forget what they were called, like the Nano X or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then I think they did away with that shoe completely, and then I got a different Reebok trainer. And it was that same thing with like Nike, like super narrow, like not comfortable at all.
Yeah.
And we both kind of have the wide foot plague a little bit. And,
yeah.
It's just, if the shoe isn't naturally wide, it's just very uncomfortable to wear, I feel like.
If you have narrow feet though, you might like the Reebok and the Metcons. But for us with a wider, chubbier foot, the Vivo Barefoot and the Under Armour trainers are actually the best option. And we will be doing a blog on all this too. So we'll put the blog in the description box below if you want the links to the trainers that we're actually talking about. We'll put that all in one spot for you guys. So yeah. Vivo Barefoots, the Under Armour trainer is great for wide feet, and then the other ones are, they're good for narrow feet, but not very comfortable for wide feet.
Well, and shoes are like one of those things that are just like highly subjective. Like it comes down to the person. Like it's kind of like taste. It's highly independent on what the individual like, you know, prefers. But
well, and I used to love training squatting in Converse or Vans.
Absolutely hate both of those.
And now I can't do it.
Yeah.
I prefer, honestly, barefoot is my favorite thing to go. Like, I like that being in our home gym, we can do that without it being kind of nasty. And we clean the floors like every week, and it's just the two of us, so it doesn't matter.
One thing I like too is, like, when we'd post videos in the past of us being barefoot, I haven't gotten one in a while. But people are like, training barefoot? Like, what happens if you drop something on your foot? I'm like, if I'm wearing a shoe with a small like bit of leather, like canvas material on the toes, it's not helping much either.
No, you're going to break your toes no matter what.
Like if I drop a 45-pound plate from 4 feet, it's going to hurt regardless. So
yeah, for real. I just feel like much more stable, and like you can really connect with the floor more when you're not wearing shoes.
Well, and I really like deadlifting and like single leg work, especially barefoot, because one, when you're deadlifting or like doing any type of hinge, you have to pull the bar, you know, a shorter distance. And then single leg work, I just like it because, like Bailey said, I can, like, kind of grip and grab the ground with my, like, actual foot versus having to, you know, rely on the grippiness of the shoe itself.
Yeah, so if you'd like to train barefoot, but you are at like a commercial gym or just like a public gym, definitely get the Vivo barefoots because they mimic like being barefoot without, you know, obviously being barefoot. Yeah. So those are the shoes that we like. Now, what are some shoes?
I want to touch on one more thing. If you have like, you know, some disposable cash to use, I highly recommend getting like a pair of like Olympic like lifting shoes with like the heel elevation, especially for things like squat and like leg press or like hack squats and stuff like that, because it kind of gives you some artificial dorsiflexion and allows you to get like greater forward knee travel and allows you to stay more upright.
Helps with
depth. Don't have to worry about, yeah, you can achieve greater depth in like your squat, and you don't have to, you know, always, you know, use heel elevation. I use both sometimes, mm-hmm. or one or the other. But like I said, if you have like some disposable cash, definitely recommend getting like a pair of Olympic weightlifting shoes because it's like a cheat code for, you know, quad gains.
Yeah. Yeah, those are really...
You don't have any though right now.
I used to, but they were like, mine were too clunky, dunky. I didn't like them.
We got to get you some
more. I prefer to just go barefoot on wedges, like a solid pair of wedges, like either Prime Fitness wedges or Rogue wedges. You can get cheaper wedges on Amazon. But yeah, those I prefer just to do that instead of wearing Olympic shoes. But you love Olympic
weightlifting shoes. Yeah, and then like obviously on things like leg press and like some hack squats, I suppose you could. But it's hard to like put like a squat wedge on there. And if your gym is like cheap and...
What? I'm just drinking water.
I know, you just made me sidetracked.
So. Oh. You said about something about you can't obviously put a wedge on a leg press. So using a pair of Olympic weightlifting shoes.
Yeah, will help.
Yeah, for sure. So what are some shoes that you see people using that you cringe at?
Your big chunky clunky running shoes for like...
Oh, like Hokas?
Yeah. And then they'll
Hokas or like Nikes.
Any running shoe that has like a very like soft thick, like soft base. Mm-hmm. Just because I don't know, you wouldn't try to squat on a piece of foam or, you know, do single leg work on foam, so why would you wear shoes that kind of act the same way?
And their ankles look like they're about to give out. Well, yeah, they're so wobbly.
Well, and they don't have like a nice flat base to mm-hmm. them. It's, you know, like,
and most times I feel like people that do train in those types of shoes, they don't necessarily, or they can't hit proper depth because of the unstable base.
Yeah. Or like single leg work, like they really struggle with like balancing mm-hmm. in those types of shoes.
Yeah. So like if we ever see in our challenges, we always
provide. And this is just a recommendation. Like obviously, like if you have no issue doing it, go for it. Like go crazy. Like no one can tell you what to do or what to wear. But like our recommendation would obviously be, if you're struggling with these things, probably wear a shoe that has some more.
Yeah. Like for example, what I was going to say is in our challenges, we provide form checks to people. And I feel like oftentimes we see people struggling with, you know, Bulgarian split squats or lunges or regular squats, and it's because they're squatting in a very unstable, thick, foamy shoe. Mm-hmm. And then we're like, okay, well, if you don't have, you know, the money to get a different pair of lifting shoes, which is totally fine, take the shoes off and just do it in your socks.
Yeah,
because that's a way better option than to squat in a very unstable shoe. And if you've also worn those shoes for years and you've developed, you know, the insides are worn out, mm-hmm. you're going to be even more unstable and shaky.
Yeah.
So really important to, you know, especially do leg day in a
Well, I feel flat, like that's another good point, shoe. Too, is like, once again, if you have the cash, I'm not saying you have to, if you can't, but like have like a dedicated pair of like
gym only shoes
mm-hmm. so that, you know, they're not getting worn out from like regular everyday use just walking around.
Well, and also it's kind of nasty to bring like...
Yeah, I mean...
Bring
your... Especially like with our like little home gym, like even like the black mats. Like,
yeah.
I mean, at this point, people walk all over it regardless just because they don't care. But like your shoes are dirty that you wear out on the street.
Yeah, there's like dog turds on the street and dog pee. And yeah. then you're stepping in it and then bringing it in, and then people are doing push-ups on the same mat that you have just, poop and pee on.
Gyms tend to not be the most sanitary of places, so like you're just adding to it with your disgusting shoes.
Yeah, which our recommendations are mainly, I feel like, specific to leg days, lower body days, because on upper, it doesn't really matter what shoe you're training in, you know, you're not doing any kind of, you know, squat patterns or anything like that. So these are mainly for leg day, you know?
Yeah. Well, and people usually ask that too, like, what's your favorite like leg day shoe?
Yeah. So again, we'll have a whole blog on this outlining everything we talked about and what shoes we recommend, what shoes we don't necessarily recommend. But at the end of the day, it's all going to come down to preference. So if you have been squatting in Hokas your whole life and you have no problems with it, you know, go for it. But this is just from what we see and what we prefer. So what is your favorite workout pair of shorts?
Shorts?
Yes. I feel like you don't get asked this because I feel like guys think it's stupid to like ask other guys what they wear, but I always get asked like, hey, my husband's like a bigger guy like Zach. What does he recommend? It's really hard finding clothes that actually fit him. So what are your favorite, you know, like maybe top two, three pairs of shorts with brands?
So, I used to say like Lululemon, but I feel like they've kind of gone downhill. I don't know. Maybe that's just me, but like, I'm not a big fan of like their shorts or like pants
anymore. I feel like they're just a little too short. You don't like the shorter shorts.
Yeah, they're like the 3-inch inseam.
3-inch.
But
I think they're 5. It's their shortest in 7.
Yeah. They might still make a 9. I don't know. I could be completely wrong. Yeah. But lately I've just been rocking like Nike training shorts.
From like Dick's Sporting Goods or Shields.
Under Armour like training shorts. And then I also like, my favorite shorts from like Story are the, like the mesh ones. I like those because they're like breathable and they're not like restrictive and
which
tight.
Which code Bailey saves you free shipping on orders over 50 on Story. But we buy like they actually send us stuff, but we have bought our fair share of their stuff too because it's very high quality.
I love those shorts. And then we train at home, so I don't really care what I wear.
Compression
but,
shorts.
I'll just rock like compression tights or like shorts like on like leg days and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then, when it's cold, I literally just wear like baggy gray, like Under Armour sweatpants.
Yeah. And sometimes you can find those at like Costco.
Yeah.
But also I feel like we find good deals at like the outlets whenever we go shopping and when we go to outlet, like premium outlets, Zach always gets shorts and like sweatpants and shirts, training shirts from like Reebok outlet, Under Armour outlet, Nike outlet, stuff like that. So, and then also like Dick's and Shields. Okay. What about training shirts?
Shirts. So I used to be like the prototypical wear tight like Nike Under Armour like training shirts, but now it's
kind of gravitated
toward like right now I'm wearing one. It's just like graphic tees from like Abercrombie or like Hollister even.
Yeah.
Just like I don't like feeling like restricted, especially in my upper body. I don't like
you too know, tight.
Like the shirt's cutting off circulation of my arms and stuff like that. So just graphic tees that are comfortable.
You also like the brand Legend.
Yeah, I only have one shirt from them, so I can't really, like...
And it looks good.
Yeah.
That's, like, it's my favorite shirt. It makes his chest look so muscular and his arms, and I'm like, okay, I love that.
Oh, thank you. But they're, like... The reason why I like that is... Lulu's sizing is weird, so, like...
You're in double XL across the board.
And the arms are, like, for a person long. That's, like, 6'5", but then, like, I have to do that just for it to fit.
Well, like, I feel like they have the demographic of most people that buy from them are skinny, tall, like, runners.
Maybe, yeah. I don't know what they're, like, after. But the reason why I like Legend is because it's, like, built by athletes and, like, the XL or double XL doesn't have sleeves that are, you know, 30 feet long, so.
Mm-hmm. Do you like their shorts?
Yeah. Once again, I feel like just, like, better.
You just have,
I just have one pair of each.
Zach has one pair of shorts, one pair of shirts. From them. Bailey, not pair.
Bailey doesn't save you money through them, so that's like a completely unendorsed endorsement, I guess.
Yeah, it's they have a nice little company. I think their stuff is quality, just from what I've seen. And you only have one outfit, but you really love it. And then you do love Lululemon underwear, but that's like...
The underwear, though, like the one thing from Lululemon that I would probably...
They're like always I put those in the men's gift guide for Christmas because Zach loves them. They're so comfy.
They are comfortable.
Like, I wore them during pregnancy too, ladies.
They're not cheap at all, but I really like the quality of them and just like the fit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because
I can't do like regular boxers.
Yeah. Because you're too thick.
Something like that.
You do, what compression shorts do you like the most for training?
Probably Under Armour.
Under Armour?
I never really was a big Under Armour guy, but like
the last... I feel like they're making a comeback.
Yeah, like the last year, I feel like when we were in like middle school or like elementary, like
so
were, like,
cool. The big brand. Like Under Armour logo sweatshirts. You were so cool if you had one of those. Yeah. I had like two of them, and I wore them like both, like every week.
It was like those like giant Under Armour logos like smack dab in the middle, and that like black North Face like.
Oh yeah, fleece zip up
thing.
Oh my gosh, so those were so cool. Gaucho pants, clogs.
Every dude in our high school had one. I actually never had one.
Yeah,
but I think that
might you had be Under Armour sweatshirt.
One, yeah, that was gifted to me. I never like went out of my way to buy one. I was too cool.
Yeah, you're
I was
way
the,
too cool.
I was the anti cool. No,
Zach always likes to do what like is not trending. Like yeah. If it's trending, he's like, no, that's stupid. Like he's like the anti trend.
Yeah. But, like, as we were saying, I think, like, Under Armour used to be, like, really cool, like, mm-hmm. 10, 15 years ago when we were, like...
Well, same with, like, Abercrombie. And then both of them kind of, like, fizzled away. Mm-hmm. And then now they're cool again.
Like a revival.
And they got, like, a whole rebrand.
Yeah.
Their stuff is so good.
I love Under Armour. Like,
yeah.
I used to be, like...
I honestly like Under Armour better than Nike now. And I never thought that day would come.
I probably like Under Armour more than Adidas and Nike.
Oh, yeah. I used to be a big Adidas girl. 2-3 years
ago, Adidas like, kind of had like their resurgence and revival. But yep. Now it's like, I don't know. I feel like they've kind of like taken this. Adidas clothing, honestly, is like one thing that I do not like.
Mm-hmm. I still like their Adidas clothing.
But
I do like their shoes because they run wide.
Yeah.
Compared
to
Nike.
They fit more true to size.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think that...
Are you gonna tell everybody what you like?
Yes, I am. I just wanted to make sure we got head to toe all of your favorites.
So, not to overthink it, but I definitely, being a guy,
if you had to just pick one outfit to wear to the gym,
one outfit,
yep, one shirt, one short, one shoe. I mean, okay. Not one shoe, but you know what I mean.
So it'd probably be, like I said, like a graphic tee
mm-hmm.
that's comfortable that I can move around in, and then. Any training short, like we mentioned, from like either...
You have to pick one. You have to pick where you're getting your graphic tee from. Abercrombie. So comfy.
And then probably shorts from Nike, just like training shorts. And then my Under Armour, like trainers.
There you go. There you have it. We'll link everything in our blog for you. If I had to pick my top favorites for sports bras, I think I would go... That's a tough one because ever since pregnancy and like breastfeeding, my boobs are way bigger than they were pre-pregnancy. So a lot of my sports bras that I used to wear, I can no longer wear because my boobs are just way bigger. So I haven't really found a ton of sports bras that I actually love that actually fit me really well. So that's still kind of a struggle, but I will say Buff Bunnies are super comfortable. Stories, if I size up a little bit and I pick a higher coverage one, and let's see, probably, I do like some of Navigations as well. And then for a legging, I would say my all-time top three favorites would be... Oh, that's really tough. So if I'm going like a seamless route, I love the Navigation leggings, but they don't look as good on me right now as they did pre-pregnancy. I will say that because my body's just a little different. But those are great if you want something that's not going to like slide up and down. They just literally stay where they're at. So great for leg days. And I also love their shorts and I love that they don't have a front seam. And then I love the Story Icon Tight, which... is so comfy, doesn't have a front seam, very flattering. I wear those in a size 8 or size 6. Size 8 or size 6, I don't even remember. I have both sizes and I kind of just wear whatever. And then Paragon Naked Legging. Those are like a dupe for all the other expensive leggings. They are the most affordable legging and they fit so well on me and they're very flattering. They have like a great glute contour. That makes your booty look really good. And like I said, they're affordable. I think they're under $50. And then I also really love the Vitality, their newest legging. I don't know what it's called offhand. I think it's like their new and improved Cloud Pant. I also love their Daydream Pant too. So those are my favorite leggings. So that was like 5 of them. Whoops. And then I don't really train a lot in shorts. If I do pick shorts, I'm going to pick like the Icon short or the Cloud short from Balance or the Navigation short. And then for t-shirts, I also love Abercrombie, like oversized graphic tees. I also really love Lululemon. I think it's called, it's like their everyday tee or like basic tee. Actually, I scratched that. It's a good tee, but I actually like Skims boyfriend tee better. So comfy. And then I would say my other favorite tee is from Navigation. It's their men's, just like plain basic tee. And I get it in an extra large because I love like the baggy fit. That's super comfy too. And then for socks, I just use like Aritzia or Adidas socks or Bombas. And then, yeah, my training shoes, which we talked about, the Vivo Barefoots or the Under Armour ones. And if I had to pick one outfit, it's tough. But I'm going to probably go the affordable route. And I'm going to pick, well, the Skims shirt isn't affordable necessarily. It's kind of a little bit pricey, but it's so freaking comfy. So I'm going to pick the Skims boyfriend tee, the Paragon leggings, and Aritzia socks with my Barefoot, Vivo Barefoots. That's going to be my training outfit.
There you go.
So comfy. Oh, and I forgot the sports bra. For a sports bra,
I hate how hard the Vivo Barefoots are to get on.
Really? Mine aren't hard.
For some reason, like this
one. It kind of feels like you put it on a flipper, though.
Yeah, I don't really like how they go on. But they feel good once they're on.
Yeah. It's probably because, like, you have to, like, stretch them out to get your foot.
When there's, like, so little material, it feels like when you, like, loosen laces, it doesn't even do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And the tongue's, like, integrated into, like, one piece, so it's weird like that.
Yeah. I think for my sports bra, that's a tough one. Because, like I said, I don't really have any favorites right now. Huh. I don't know. I don't have any favorites because none really fit me perfectly. There's, like, not one single sports bra that comes in mind that I'm like, ooh, I would recommend that, like, because I love it. Actually, right now I'm wearing, it's called the Liaison label. It's by my friend Steph Avara. She created her own company, and they are actually probably, I forgot this brand, but I'm wearing it right now. That's probably the only company right now that I grab their bras from. I have, like, two of them, I think. And they're just higher coverage, higher support, and my boobs actually fit in them. I think I'm a large. But I have yet to find, like, my go-to bra with bigger boobies. But I'm pretty much going to be done breastfeeding soon, so it doesn't pay to, like, invest in a bunch of giant, big boobie sports bras. When my boobies are probably going to shrink down to itty-bitty A cups again. We'll see. Hopefully they won't be saggy.
Yeah.
But they'll probably be saggy. Okay, I think that pretty much wraps up, like, the whole shoe workout apparel section of this podcast. Now we're going to quickly touch on how our cut's been going, because we made a podcast, I think it was it last week or the week before?
I can't
Maybe
remember.
Maybe a couple weeks ago, about how we were starting to do our cut. We're doing like a 12 to 16 week cut until about August, early September, just to feel better about ourselves, because obviously new parent life is hard, and we did not obviously know what to expect, and we both kind of sucked at prioritizing ourselves and taking care of ourselves. And although Zach was like working out really hard and I was, you know, starting to work out hard, our nutrition was just crap. So we decided together, like, hey, let's start a little cut. Let's feel better about ourselves. Let's focus on eating better, moving more, being more consistent. And that's exactly what we've been doing for about 3 weeks now. So how do you think the cut is going on your end?
Really well. Am I allowed to say how many pounds I'm down?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Oh, I didn't know if that was like a...
No, no.
Like a taboo thing to talk about.
No.
So I started at 264.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously a little bit fluffy. But I'm down 9 pounds. As of this morning, I was 255.2, which was a new low.
Mm-hmm.
I feel better, and... my calories are still like really high.
Yeah, he's eating over 3,000 calories a day. And we're having one day a week where we don't track and we can kind of eat whatever we want within reason. Like, we're not binge eating on that day, but we're not tracking. Like, we'll go out to dinner. We'll have a few snacks.
Well, I'll track mostly all the time except for like one or two meals during that like free day mm-hmm. where it's like not a free for all where I go crazy, but it's just like an untracked meal or two.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously like keeping it dialed in and like in check somewhat, but yeah, I'm still above 3000 calories. I feel way better. And
you're not doing any cardio. We're just trying to,
and obviously in 3 weeks, I'll like most of that's probably just like water weight, mm-hmm. but I've probably lost a good amount of fat too, just mm-hmm. because I pulled back my calories. Probably we guessed like, I'm probably like anywhere between 1500 or 2000 down from where it was, like mm-hmm. just like guessing, but I'm still progressing in the gym. I'm beating like my logbook every week or most weeks. Obviously like gym progress isn't linear, just as weight loss isn't. But yeah, I just like the biggest thing I notice is I just feel less like sluggish mm-hmm. and I don't know, when I look in the mirror, I'm less disappointed.
Well, you already look way leaner throughout your upper body and in your arms and your face. That's what I've noticed anyways.
Well, and I feel like I'm kind of like, this isn't me trying to brag, but I feel like I'm lucky in the sense that, and maybe this is just like a guy thing, maybe it's not, but I feel like I'm able to put weight on easily, mm-hmm. like muscle mass, and obviously like fat gain comes with it too.
But I'm you're also an easy gainer. Or hard gainer, it's called, right?
No, easy gainer.
Easy gainer.
But I also, when I like dial things in, I feel like I'm also able to, you know, shed pounds pretty quick too.
Oh, so, for sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
What do you think, what has been the hardest for you during the last like 3 weeks?
Honestly, the hardest thing is probably not staying under like my calories, but just like being consistent with hitting all three macros. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, some days I'll have days where I'm like way over on protein or like way over on carbs, but then way down on like, you know, the other two or one of the other ones. Mm-hmm. Rarely, if ever, am I actually like hitting all three. But the two things that I'm just focusing on, one is two, just protein. Remaining in that deficit, and then protein and fiber, probably mm-hmm. in that order. And yeah. I noticed that the protein and the fiber definitely make the biggest difference in terms of, you know, fullness. And then, yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing probably when you're in a deficit to like retain muscle is, one, like your training has to stay intense. And the way you do that is, you know, not taking calories like by half of what they were, and then just like hitting protein too.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, two things that might seem obvious, but I feel like people kind of tend to overlook stuff like that. Like the simple things are what make the biggest difference, I feel like.
For sure. And for me, I would say it's been going really well. I feel like I've been the most consistent that I have been ever since before having Marlo, or like pre-pregnancy, honestly. Before getting pregnant, it wasn't hard for me to prioritize myself. It wasn't hard for me to, you know, eat healthy and go on walks and be active. Like, we had all the time in the world to go play pickleball and go on hikes and literally just be, you know, go to the gym for 2 hours every day. And now that we have Marlo, it's just harder to, you know, make time to go make sure that we're still taking care of ourselves. So that's been something that I'm really glad that I've stuck to the past 3 weeks, is no matter what, I'm going to wake up and put me first and not let myself sleep in. And then my workout is crap because she's up and she's in the gym and she's freaking out because obviously she wants to be played with. And so I'm really proud of myself for actually staying consistent with putting me first and prioritizing that the first thing in the morning, because that's when I feel the best. That's when I have time to actually do it and not worry about, you know, Marlo or really anybody else. And then, I've been really consistent at getting my water in, which I feel like I struggled with a little more than 3 weeks ago, because I was, you know, just making excuses for myself as to, you know, why I couldn't drink water throughout the day, and I would forget it, you know, I would just forget it and not make it a big deal. But now I'm prioritizing that too.
But on that note, I feel like you've had to like you made like such an overcorrection now that you have to kind of like come back to the middle ground too, because you were drinking water, like so much water, so late in the day to get to this like arbitrary number that you were peeing 4 or 5 times a night and disrupting your sleep. So.
Well, sometimes I feel like I'm the most productive in the morning. So sometimes I forget to drink water right away in the morning. So then I pound it from like 2 to 8 p.m. and then I'm up like, 5 times at night. So I've been trying to do better at front loading my water, whereas Zach's really good at front loading his water and literally chugging 120 ounces before noon. And then he can just sip on, 40 ounces the rest of the day.
So that's something that you and I actually kind of like not disagree on, but like in arguments about is like...
Argument. We do not fight about this.
Okay. Argument might be a bit extreme, but Oh, Bailey's got to drink some water.
My mouth is dry. Give me a break.
So we like I said, we don't argue about it, but we like disagree to an extent about like, you know, absolutely having to hit a step goal or a certain amount of ounces of water, because at some point, like, the psychological toll that it takes on you to like get to that number versus like the actual like.
I won't kill myself over it.
No.
I've been short on, my goal is 120 ounces a day. Have I fallen short on that in the past 3 weeks? Some days. I'm not going to chug 20 ounces of water right before bed.
But like what I do is I literally just like think I drink when I'm thirsty for the most part.
I know, but it's easier for you.
Yeah.
Because you can just chug like 30 ounces and not feel sick to your stomach. If I chug 30 ounces, I'm going to be full for the next like 3 hours.
Maybe. I don't know.
You're just superior, okay?
That's not what I'm after. But thank you for admitting it.
Really? I'm going to punch you. And yeah. I've also been really good at hitting my macros. Zach is really good at making sure he hits his calories, but his macros are all over the place. And I'm his coach. So, you know, you can just about guess at how well that's going, because he's like, I don't care as long as I'm under my calories, which yes, that matters. But like, I can't really make adjustments if you're not being precise with your macros. And yes, in the grand scheme of things, macros, protein, fiber, that's probably a great thing to prioritize. Calories, sorry, not macros. But you are in a spot where you can be more precise. You're just a little lazy.
It's not lazy. It's just like some days I don't want to eat, you know, 325 grams of carbs or like hit my fat goal or protein. Like,
no, you're just really a poor planner. You're a poor planner.
Okay. We can boil it down to that.
Maybe. Because I like sit and I'm like, okay, this is what I'm going to eat today.
But I know that in the grand scheme of things, like when I'm in a fat loss phase,
calories in versus calories out.
Calories in, 100%. Calories out obviously is going to like make the biggest difference in like fat loss. But I know that like in terms of like muscle retention, like training hard and intense is probably going to make the biggest difference versus me being 30 grams short on carbs
or
10 grams short on fat.
Like, 100%.
Once again, like it's not me being like lazy about it. It's just like, I'm not going to step over $100 bills to pick up pennies when I know like over time what's going to matter the most. And like
100%.
Yeah. I mean, that's just how I look at it. That's how I've always looked at like a lot of things.
Then like, you can be your own coach then. So it's like, why am I helping you?
You're not going to argue with me.
Like, be your own coach, dude.
No, that's not why. You're not really even coaching me. You just set my numbers.
You don't even. I was like, you need to take pictures, progress pictures. You need to take starting pictures. It took you like 3 weeks to take your starting pictures.
No, it took me 2 weeks.
Okay.
We're only 3 weeks into this. It wasn't this week that I took the pictures.
It was 3 days ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But stuff happens.
Yeah, you're a crappy client. The thing that I like about having like an actual coach though is like the accountability. Like, I have to turn in my check-in sheet every Wednesday by a certain time.
Yeah.
And so like it holds you accountable to be like, okay, I'm paying for this service, so I have to, you know,
yeah, you're gonna get your money out of it.
Yeah. And like, I'm going to take my pictures every week. I'm going to fill in my check-in sheet. I'm going to, like, I hit my macros within 2 to 5 grams at least. Like, I'm usually within 1 to 2 grams. Like, I'm very precise, and I take pride in that because I'm paying for it. So I want to see the best progress that I can. And like, I'm competitive too. So I know I'm not competing with anybody else. I'm competing with myself. And I'm like, how can I be better each week?
That's like something I was thinking about yesterday too. This is like kind of like a tangent, but there's this, like middle-aged guy that lives in our neighborhood, and he's been looking jacked lately, and he doesn't even know this, but he's like my like motivation to like be like,
because he's latest. Old. He's not old. He's like in his 40s probably.
Probably in his 40s, but he's like looking good, and I'm
He looks so good.
He can't be like the most jacked dude in the neighborhood.
I gotta get my ass going.
Yeah, so like I was just thinking about that, like, he has no idea that, like, I think about him when I'm, like, eating.
Bro, that's creepy. You're like, he has no idea I think about him when I'm eating my breakfast.
Not like that. Like, think about him, like, in the sense that, well, I bet he's probably not overeating or he's watching his nutrition closely. But one more thing. See, this is what happens when we're on the podcast, because I have to wait for you to talk and then I kind of lose my train of thought.
Shut up.
But you were talking about like making excuses, and I don't know where I heard this, but it's like something that's always resonated with me. And until I actually like dialed things in, like in terms of like my nutrition, it was basically just all talk and hogwash, and Bailey's just like drinking nonstop, I think, because she's got to get
her 120 ounces in. I'm thirsty because I'm talking. Why are you being mean?
I'm just messing around.
Classic insult, and then be like, I'm just joking.
Anyways, I forget where I heard this, but I heard it at one point in time where, like, results prove your level of seriousness. Mm-hmm. So, like, you can talk about how you want to lose weight, you want to get stronger, you want to go to the gym 4 times a week, you want to take, like, 3 long walks a week. Like, until you do it, though, like, it's just, like, an excuse. And, like, obviously, I know life happens, so I'm probably... Bailey or I will get messages about, well, I had this happen, but...
That's totally fine. It's how you respond to those things happening.
Well, and like I was saying, like, the whole results thing, like, dictates, like, your level of seriousness. Like, you know what, like, proves that you, like, want to go to the gym 4 times a week? Going to the gym 4 times a week. Mm-hmm. You want to know what proves that you want to lose body fat? Losing body fat. Like, you know,
eating, both and I fell into that trap, too.
Like, we both fell into this trap of just, like, excuse-making.
Complacency.
And that, and just, like...
Excuses, yeah. We were like, we just had a baby, like, we're gonna eat like crap because this is hard, which it was.
Yeah.
And obviously, I think the first month, I'm like, okay, the first like 6 weeks, we can have those excuses because it is pure survival mode. But I wish that we would have taken better care of ourselves to start and prioritized taking care of ourselves, like, you know, being like, okay, Zach, you go work out, which you were good about working out, and I was fine with like taking care of Marlo for that time, and I couldn't really work out as hard, but I wish like I would have been able to get out of the house more because I was, and it wasn't your fault, you were like, go do it, but I was just like so anxious, and I feel like I was definitely probably struggling with some like postpartum anxiety where I didn't want to leave her. And so that's something that, you know, yeah, we made a lot of excuses, but at the end of the day, like, we should have prioritized things, but we didn't.
Yeah. So I found
But it now actually. We are. So, like, we're serious about it, and we're actually committing to it, and we feel both great, even 3 weeks in.
Well, and, like, the first couple of days, like, sucks. You're like, oh, this is just so tedious, like, tracking stuff. But then, like, we've had, like, people in town a couple times since we've started, and, like, the days, like, where we don't track, I'm, like, I don't get anxious, but it's like, oh, man, I really wish I was, like, tracking right now because I have no idea how much I'm eating. But... I found the, like, thing I was talking about. Mm-hmm. Can I read it?
Yeah.
It's from, like, a hypertrophy program I bought, like, I don't know, like, 3-4 years ago. But it goes, most people are not serious. They say they want something, and then they go and do the exact opposite. They give any excuse. Too busy, not enough time, dog died. Personally, I don't care to hear this, and I don't associate myself with these people. If you hang around these people, they drag you down. You start to do the same thing. You give excuses, and they give you support. It's a downward spiral where nothing important ever gets done. If you are serious, you only care about one thing, results. And you only focus on one thing, results. Results prove your level of seriousness.
I like that a lot.
Yeah. So, a bit harsh. Like, obviously, we get, like, life happens. Mm-hmm. But, you know, at some point, you just got to stop making excuses. And just have to buck up and be an adult and, you know.
Well, and think about, like, so one of our friends here in St. George, she actually just got diagnosed with cancer. And, like, I won't name her name just for privacy reasons, even though she's sharing her journey on Instagram. But she is, you know, one of the strongest women that I know. And she has every excuse in the world to not focus on her fitness. But she's in the gym, literally after her chemo appointment, working out and staying healthy for her so that her chemo will be better, you know, in the long run. And she'll feel better. So, like... these people have all these excuses in the world as, you know, I can't do this, I can't do that. When, like, literally I'm seeing firsthand, like,
how... And when she said these people, she didn't mean people with cancer. She meant, like...
No.
Certain people.
I'm saying people that don't have, you know, that kind of, like, excuse. Like, I'm saying people that just say that they don't have time even though they're sitting on their couch scrolling on TikTok for 3 hours at night. Like, we've all been there, you know? I don't want to act like we're perfect because we just started it.
Talking from a high horse, but...
Like, no, honestly, like, we just started our journey because we were tired of feeling like that. Like, mm-hmm. At some point, you have to be sick of your own crap and just start. And no one else can do it for you. You have to be the one to do it. And you have to take control and actually put in the work and be serious about it. Like, we can give people the tools to be successful. We can give them all the challenges and workouts and everything. But it's up to them to actually do it. Mm-hmm. So what I wanted to just say is, we know this girl. She's amazing. And she's going through, like, a huge, you know, change in her life due to this, you know, cancer diagnosis. But she's not letting it stop her. Like, she's literally still working out. And I could think of, you know... anybody having any excuse in the world. And if it's not her, then it's just crazy. I don't know. I just think it's very inspiring. Something that I wanted to touch on because a lot of people make excuses. And is that it?
Yeah, pretty much. I think we kind of...
You're like quiet now.
Way off on a tangent, but...
Well, it's just, you know, we want what's best for people. And now that like we're in it and we're like truly taking care of ourselves, I'm like, okay, I want other people to feel this good because I feel infinitely better than I did 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Because my mental health isn't struggling like it was. I was very much so struggling. I felt like crap about my physical appearance. So my emotional health was also struggling. And, you know, I failed to prioritize myself. And so once I started prioritizing myself, fueling my body right, moving, it just made me feel way better. And I want other people to feel as good. So that's kind of our little cut update. Hopefully we'll do these like every couple weeks just to give you guys some insight. I don't think I touched on like how much I weigh or anything, but I'll touch on that in the next one. But yeah, if you guys listened this far, thank you so much for listening, and we will catch you on the next episode.
Thank you.